Good morning, brothers, sisters, and friends. It's great to be with you once again this morning. As you guys know, we are embarking on a journey as we consider deeper spirituality, as Tyrone would have been doing for the last 3 weeks. And I take the baton from him, and we're going to be talking for the next 3 weeks about the issue or the topic, spiritual formation. And we're definitely going to have some linkage going on because a lot of what we're talking about in going deeper into our own spiritual walks has a lot to do with our spiritual lives, you know, how we interact with one another, our connection with God primarily, and definitely just the church. And after me will come our brother Roger Blash. And he's going to be talking primarily about the church and how all those three linkages come together. I pray and hope that these times are a blessing to you, and that you are gleaning from them in a great way. I pray that the depth of God's word continues to draw your heart out to want to know him even more. Let me say how much in prayer you guys are on the hearts of my wife and I, along with the shepherding ministry. We had the privilege of being able to come together as a group to be able to pray for you all, for the entire church. And that was very, very enriching for us. But we know it's very much needed for a time like this. And I pray that our prayers continue to go up for one another in our midst, and that we find ways and means to encourage one another to really use this, any opportunity we have to reach out. We trust that God is good, and he continues to be sovereign, holy, righteous, and blameless. And once we put our trust in him, then no matter what happens in this life, guess what? We'll be good. We'll be all right. You know, we'll be totally fine, because in the end we'll be with him. Amen. So let's get into our time this morning. And like I said, today, brothers and sisters, you know, I'm gonna begin a journey with you as we together explore over the next 3 weeks this very complex and yet simple understanding of spiritual formation. And I would like to let you know that I'm no expert in this. The truth is, I've been doing some reading and studying and so on about this, and there's still so much depth into this topic, you know. And I hope that and pray that the little wisdom that I have gathered over the last few months or so will be enriching to you, and will help to cause you to think about this area of your own life as well in a deeper way. You know, I want to again give kudos to Tyrone, you know, for setting the stage for us over the past 3 weeks as he took us deeper into the idea of a deeper spirituality. You know, I was personally convicted as I looked at my own pursuit of spiritual depth, and saw that there are areas that I need to give great attention to. I'm sure that you would agree that you too have to give attention to different areas in your life. So maybe you're like me, and you know, you've started to look deeper into the issues of your own spirituality, right? Only to see the lack of growth. You know, have you thought about that before? You know, the author of the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, his name is Peter Scazzaro. He says in his book, and don't quote me on the exact wording of it, but he says, we might be 22 years as Christians, but we are really 1 year old Christians 22 times. Wow. You know, the first time I read those words, it struck me. You know, and it had me pondering on my own spiritual growth. You know, are there areas in my life that I'm like a 1 year old, 23 years down the road or 23 times over, and the truth is, the question begs, have you seen growth in your life in the past 5 years, maybe? So as I considered the many things that challenged me from our last three sermons, I easily saw where my desire to grow in these areas sprung to life, right? But if you are anything like me, that would have happened many times as a Christian on your journey. We hear a great message that convicts our hearts, and we feel like our lives are changed forever, and only to go right back to the place where we thought we left last week, Sunday. We sit in counseling times with men and women we respect in the faith, and we leave convinced that we can apply the things we've learned from them in our times with them, only to see that we fall short the very next day. We read the Bible and have an amazing quiet time, maybe, and we leave that time feeling like, we are stronger than ever, only to step into our day and all falls down with one bad drive or a coworker getting on our nerves. But by now, I hope you get my point. Simply put or asked, how do we really become more spiritual? How do we grow? How do we become formed as we understand it to be? Before we address this, we will need to clear up a few things on how we thought before, right? So we can approach what I am going to share with you, which is a new perspective, right? And I hope that we one, allow our time together to be one that is free from distraction, because I really do believe that what I'm going to share with you are going to be going to very, very, very well help you to be able to think through your own walk with God and your growth. In Matthew chapter 9, in verse 17, look at what it says. It says, "Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into what? New wineskins, and both are preserved." Jesus makes it clear that we need to prepare our hearts by renewal in order to receive something new. The gospel did not fit into the old, rigid, legalistic system of religion. It needed a fresh start. When we follow Christ, we must be prepared for new ways to live, new ways to look at others, and new ways to serve. In other words, we need to look at them the way He sees them, the way He looks at them, the way He handles situations. That's how we need to be able to that's where we're aiming towards. So as we go deeper into this topic of spiritual formation, I would like for you to open your hearts and your minds to other ways, new ways of being formed that are not in keeping with your spiritual upbringing, maybe, but might very well bring with it some light as to why you have not experienced the kind of spiritual growth you desire in your relationship with God. Amen? So let's turn to Genesis. Let's go back to the beginning. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 to 27, it says what? "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.' So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them." So here we see that from the beginning, the wholeness of man was in fact associated with the image of God. This is how we are meant to be in the eyes of God. When God looks at us, he desires to see himself, his image. Now, the New Testament backs this up through the writings of our brother Paul. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, he says what? And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. You know, Paul says here that we who have unveiled ourselves before the living God are being transformed into his image with an ever increasing glory. Ever increasing. Wow. You know, there is an amazing view in mind here that none of us can fathom as we consider what that would be like or even look like. You know, but the part here that is key is the end of the verse, which comes, what does it say? It says, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You know, this is where I think we can miss what Paul is trying to say. You know, no matter what spiritual activity you engage in, the only source of your spiritual growth, spiritual transformation, is Jesus, our Lord, who is the Spirit. Let's look at another passage. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 15, it says what? The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So Jesus, right? When we think about the context of where do we see this image? How do we replicate this image? Because we know we're fallen, right? You know, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. So here is where we take a deeper look at our spiritual formation. No longer do we get to claim what this looks like according to us, right? You know, the image of Christ has to be seen as the ultimate reality of human wholeness. You know, that place that Tyrone spoke about when he quoted Ecclesiastes 3 verse 11. What, the destiny of man, right? The place where wholeness is realized and no one, no relationship, no amount of money, fame, recognition from this world can fill. Only God. Only God. You know, sometimes the dangers of us trying to think about or bring about our own spirituality, if I may say, is we fall short because we only have in view us. God is not in the picture. And we will naturally default to what we want to do, how we want to live. So our spirituality will naturally fit into our own mold. You know, think about the people you've spoken to over the years. I'm sure you've met people who've said to you, oh no, my spirituality is meditation. That is how I just draw closer to God. That is it. Right? Or maybe you've spoken to somebody and they've said to you, well, I talk to God direct and that is it. You know, I don't come to no church and, you know, that is how, you know. So in a lot of ways, you know, the average person who may be trying to build their relationship with God can easily fall into the trap of, I want to do it my way. Right? And that's a very dangerous place to be. Because when we do that, brothers and sisters, we're not doing it God's way. And ultimately, we're not going to be formed the way he is trying to form us, because we're trying to form ourselves. You know, the difficulty with this understanding of being formed spiritually is that it comes with a cross attached to it. And what do I mean by that? You know, in the book, Invitation to a Journey, really good book, you know, the word cruciform is used to describe this view. In other words, the author is explaining that dying is at the center of this transformation. And so we are called to lose our old selves with its bondages, right? And brokenness, and take up our cross, right? You know, this is where we can find the conflict in our hearts daily as we struggle to give up self, as we desire to preserve us, right? But then we look to Jesus and you realize, no, there is no self-preservation here. There is only giving up of oneself. And I believe this is one of the hardest things to do because we don't want to give up self. You know, I've been married to my wife, my beautiful wife now, for 16 going on 17 years. You know, I'm a truly blessed man. You know, I love her with all my heart. You know, she's the love of my life and my best friend. And to this day, I would always be gracious to God. I'm like, God, why did you even think that I was worthy to be married to such an awesome woman who loves God more than she loves me, for sure? You know, but I remember during our first 5 years of marriage, how hard it was to love her at times. You know, we were so different. You know, she was from country and I was from town, right? She was mixed Indian and African, and I was African with a little bit of Spanish, you know? You know, we had different values, likes and dislikes. You know, we have an age bracket between us, you know? So, you know, but the one thing we had in common was we both were disciples and had been baptized into the body of Christ. So because this meant something to us, we fought hard to figure out how to live as Jesus calls us to in this marriage. You know, I will share, for me, I was very judgmental and critical about her, as once things were not how I wanted it or how I perceived it should be coming into the marriage. You know, this was mainly in our communication, by the way. You know, I had issues with it. But when I decided to have a look at what I looked like, what image I was giving off, right? It was glaring to me that I was looking like Nanino, who was buried in the waters of baptism, right? And not Jesus, who rose with me in baptism. And, you know, when I started to look at it from that angle, I realized that I was getting caught up with my view, what I wanted. And I wasn't thinking about, what does Jesus want for me? You know, isn't what he wants for me much better than what I want for myself? You know, isn't that what he wants for you way better than what you want for yourself? Think about that for a minute. You know, if we were to go back to Genesis, here we see that, you know, God is constantly working in our lives to bring us into a fulfillment of his will for our wholeness. You know, this, brothers and sisters, can only happen when we engage with God through this process of formation. You know, not the instant gratification culture we live in today. Right? If you think about it, you know, we want everything now, right? But formation, it's a process because God is working on us. Think about how long the world has molded us, right? To who we are today. When we look at our quirks and all of our mishaps and our messed up mindsets and how we think about others and ourselves even, that's the world has developed that in us, right? For the most part. And, you know, sometimes we come into the kingdom and we think, man, we become disciples and we think, well, I just need to stop sinning, if I may say. I just need to be pure and holy and righteous, you know? And that's not the case. But what the scriptures is calling us and telling us over and over again as we read the New Testament is that our engagement with God is the only way we are going to realize maturity and growth and formation into Christ. You know, it doesn't happen instant. It takes time. It takes patience. But there's a goal in mind, right? You know, for me as a young husband, I had to learn this, and it took me 5 years to realize that I could not change Marlene. I couldn't change my wife, but God could. But while God was working on her, I needed to engage with him for my own growth into his image, right? And not my image, his image, not mine. You know, what is spiritual formation to you? You know, is it a manual of things to do? Daily quiet times, doing good deeds, being a good Christian, maybe? You know, while these are very good things to do, you know, that is all they really are in the context of being formed spiritually. Things to do is what they are. You know, instead, we need to view them as tools that allow us to engage with God. See the difference? Right? If we focus on these things that we're going to do, then we lose sight of what is supposed to be happening while I am doing these things. But the truth is that these things in of themselves are not what is going to change us. It is our engaging with God during our times with him on a morning or an evening, during our times of doing good deeds when we're focusing on pleasing him, during our time of, our whatever things that we need to do, or coming to church, engaging in different ministries in the church, being able to study the Bible with people, sharing our faith, being evangelistic. All these things are what God expects of us, but primarily from a heart that is connected to him, primarily. So instead we need to view them as tools. Here's where we begin to talk about the idea of being instead of doing. I know Tyrone mentioned this as well before. Like I said, we are intertwining here, if I may say. But I would go even another step further and say it's even better to say being first before we do. Right? So the emphasis here is, how can I become loving before I try to love someone? What does this mean for me to become loving? In other words, that's who I am, as opposed to, I'm going to do it. And if you notice that whole idea of just doing it, it means that chances are our hearts are not in it, maybe. And we're just trying to tick a box, like we say. So guess what? We don't grow. Instead, what do? We engage with God. We say, God, help me to become more loving, please. Help me to learn how to show compassion. And you ask God, you get him involved, because he's the one that's going to form you. You're going to go do your thing, but primarily it's going to only look the way you think it should look. But when you think about God's way, then, that's a whole different ball game, right? So, this passage really helps me make my point clear, I think. If you turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, very classic passage. And it's really dealing with the heart of man on his own journey before God and with Jesus. And, Jesus addresses, as he is talking on during his Sermon on the Mount, and in verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers." This is one of those passages you read and you have a sober mind after that. You start to internalize, wow, where am I? What does Jesus see? Jesus is, like I said, well into his Sermon on the Mount when he addresses true and false disciples. That's the caption in my Bible, the superscript. He is speaking to the crowd gathered and he's saying to them, or saying something that is highly controversial, let's just see, right? He confronts them on their true position before him and ultimately before God. You know, Jesus makes it clear that all these activities, this spiritual in nature, of course, as he would talk about them, prophesy and cast out demons, all kinds of stuff these guys were doing, right? He says they will not be enough in the end, pretty much. You know, he did not say, "You did not know me," right? What did he say? He said, "I don't know you." You see, that's very, very interesting. You know, I've looked at this passage over and over again, but this is the first time I really saw this. You know, Jesus is making it clear that the issue is not about you knowing me, you know. The issue is if I know you. You know, at the heart of spirituality is relationship. Isn't that who God is? A relational God? You think about Israelites and how he chose them to create a nation through which he would show his love and his fulfillment of all the good things that he had in store for his people, and by extension for us, so we could see who God is through his relationship with man. Think about him and Adam in the garden. Isn't that how he intended it to be with us? So if you have become more reliant on the doing of things, then you need to take a long, hard look at who have you become. You know, the day will come, brothers and sisters and friends, when our relationship with Jesus, with God, with the Holy Spirit, not our list of do's, will be questioned. Just like these men and women who really thought that by doing all these things, they were right with him. You know, remember the analogy of rowing versus sailing? Well, I want to read from a book that I've been reading for a while that really helps me with this particular analogy. And bear with me for a bit, because the writer does such a profound job. I don't think I should even try to, you know, do it on my own. So here's what the author of the book, Forming a Work of Grace, speaks about. The guy, his name is David Tackle. He says, "For many Christians, the spiritual life is a lot like rowing a boat. Although it may become wearisome at times, they do their best to persist and remain as consistent as possible, often in the face of considerable difficulty. Not that they try to do this all on their own, having attended many seminars on the value of rowing and the dangers of slacking off, they keep up their energy by attending weekly meetings and praying for the Holy Spirit to give them the strength and endurance to row well. Of course, there are setbacks. Some find themselves in an opposing current, and no matter how hard they row, the boat just seems to go more backward than forward. Still, others could swear they were never issued boat oars and spend much of their time going in circles or switching sides to keep from getting too far off course. Most distressing of all are those who can never row for more than a few minutes at a time before becoming exhausted. No matter how much they pray, they never seem to have enough energy and may privately wonder if the Holy Spirit is holding out on them. Sometimes those who are stronger and pulling well will call out advice how to steer and how to hold the oars. The advice usually lands on the strugglers like an anchor. But they take a deep breath and try harder. From time to time, the leaders just shake their heads and wonder, why is it that so much effort is spent making so little progress?" Then he goes on to say, there's another way. He says, "Imagine now a sail, full and bright, pulling each boat with all the power of the wind. The oars are gone, along with sore arms and aching backs.
Instead, the boaters are learning how to catch the wind and give up the work of forward movement to something much more powerful than they could ever be. And movement it is. Waves pour off each bow, and the wake they leave behind churns with foamy water. It's actually fun, he says. Or there are things to do and lots more to learn, but this is so far removed from rowing that it's not even possible to compare the two. Even more exciting is the discovery that the wind in their sail is none other than the Holy Spirit himself, which means that the apprentice sailors are in truth witnessing the power of God and learning to engage with him in tangible ways that they never experienced as rowers. Clearly, they still need to learn how to sail and align with the wind, but that is light years from asking God to give them the strength to do all the work of rowing. Wow. I hope that paints a picture of this idea of sailing or rowing versus sailing. You know, we are positioning ourselves to receive from God, ultimately, you know, through our engaging with him, patiently and with a surrendered heart before him. You know, there's no better time, in my humble opinion, for us to really delve into this topic of engaging with God for the purpose of spiritual formation. As we have been compelled to give up the external things that our lives have hinged on, right? And the false sense of true spirituality have easily become the practice of doing instead of becoming. God, I believe, is calling us all, brothers and sisters, not now, but from the beginning of time, to be with him and to have true fellowship with him. You know, I had to recently confess how my times with God have become about other people and less about me and God. Not that I need to stop thinking about others, of course not, but I need to protect my time with God. I need to protect my time with him as his son. Right? Isn't that the kind of relationship he wants? You know, he takes care of everything else, but he's like, I want to connect with you, Nino. I don't want to, you know, we'll talk about those guys, but when is me and your time? You know, when is our time? You know, and I pray and hope that you are beginning to see what I'm speaking about this morning. So next week, we'll be looking at how to engage with God to bring about this kind of transformational relationship he wants to have with us. Let us pray at this time so we can close. Our merciful and gracious God, Father, we come before you this morning. God, just thinking back at the many times when we chose to take the oars and try to row in our walk with you, when we chose to use or view ourselves as the one in control of our destiny spiritually, you know, how lacking of understanding we were. But this morning I pray that it will mark a new beginning. A new beginning of us really considering how do we engage with you in every aspect of our lives. Bless us, Father, as we go on this journey of learning to engage with you, Father, so that you can form us, not we try to form ourselves. But even as we do the things that you've called us to do, because we know we have things to do, it will come as a result of us being with you and connecting with you and listening to your spirit as he speaks to us. We love you. We thank you. Bless us today. May we continue to be safeguarded in this pandemic. And we ask that you continue to cover us with your blood and be with our nation, Father. And, you know, as we continue to pray for one another, may we continue to just build in our own faith in you and trust. We love you, God. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name I pray all these things. Amen.